Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text is the text that was read earlier, and there are so many things I could talk about with this text. I mean, you can't read it, for instance, without at least some idea of the Trinity. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I mean, if that's not Trinitarian, I don't know what is. And then there's Jesus' exclusive claim that shreds any idea of relative truth that postmodernism might have. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, you can't get much more exclusive than that. And then there's all that discussion about God's mansion up in heaven, with Jesus doing his own Trivago, you know, for us, so that we get the perfect room with reservations done way in advance, from eternity even. And I could talk about praying in the name of Jesus and asking for anything in his name and what all that means. I could talk about any one of those things and would like to, frankly. This is a text packed full of sermons, but Dean Burrison has only given us 8 minutes, and I've only got 7 left. So we really only have time to look at verse 1, sorry. But it's a great verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Maybe it's just me, but there seems to be some troubled hearts out there right now. And for various reasons, the political situation, North Korea, the recent floods, here on campus, papers are due, but not necessarily turned in yet. Exams are coming up with petitions to have a Hogwarts holiday, you know, having all exams canceled in honor of this being the final quarter. That may happen in the magical world of Hogwarts, but it probably isn't going to happen here. Some of us are dealing with some real difficult things in our lives, aging parents or family issues or health issues. And then there's that whole vicarage assignment and fourth year students going out to their first calls. That can get hearts pumping, hearts troubled. You know, I'm listening to John Diefenthaler's sermon last week, reminiscing about his time on vicarage, got me thinking about my own vicarage, if you'd indulge me. I was a second-year student at our sister seminary in St. Catharines when I got my vicarage assignment. And it was a small class, so it wasn't all that dramatic of a service like it is here. My vicarage was going to be out on the East Coast, originally Connecticut, and then it got changed to Garfield, New Jersey. And I'd never been to Garfield or the big city, for that matter. I wasn't yet married, but was going to get married 2 weeks before we moved out east. And we didn't have enough things, frankly, to need a U-Haul, but I suppose my heart was a bit troubled. I was going to go to a new place where I knew no one. And I was going there with my bride of 2 weeks, who, little beknownst to me, would be asked to be the church organist and teach preschool. And I was the one who was going to have to tell her that. And I'm still paying for that one, by the way. We had a wonderful congregation and supervising pastor. My wife always tells me, emphasize that, because they really were great people. But not long after we got there, there were a few interesting things that did happen. Some high school students decided to perform a satanic ritual sacrifice in our backyard, complete with a cross burning. I got the fun task of talking to the news outlets about how we were going to deal with this situation and what we thought about it. And then there was a time when I was in New York City. We went to see a show there, and when we got to back to the car around 11 o'clock, it wasn't there. It had been stolen. Getting out of New York that night was worthy of a Kurt Russell movie, frankly. Although we did get my car back at the end of Vicarage, in, shall we say, a slightly different condition, after getting some rubbing compound to rub out the kind of messages they had written on paint. I think we got most of the cocaine out of the trunk, and it was okay. So, do not let your hearts be troubled. I don't expect what happened to me, by the way, to happen to you, and we've all probably got our stories. But we do have these amazing words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That's easy for him to say. He's God. But that's precisely the point. God, the one who is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God, the one who brought you into existence, formed you in the womb, knows every detail about you, God, the one who already has your room ready for you in his Father's house. This is the one who says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Well, which one is it? Jesus? God? Yes, he replies. Trust in God. Trust in my Father, but trust also in me. And I love how he kind of anticipates what's going on in the life of his disciples. He says, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, it sounds to me like the disciples thought either that this was, you know, too good to be true, or that Jesus was just making all this up to make them feel better. And so he emphasizes the fact, if it were not so. In other words, I can almost hear him saying, this is not the kind of thing I would use to yank your chain. In fact, he tells them, I'm going there, but I'm coming back to get you so that you can be there together with me and my Father. In fact, he says, you know the way. I mean, it's almost as if in this text he's already seen this. Well, wait a minute, he has. He already knows they're going to be there with him. He's just preparing the room. The reservation has already been made for them and for you and for me. So, don't let your hearts be troubled. The creator of the universe has this one under control, whatever it is that's going on in your life. Because it ultimately is not about you. It's about him, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's got your back. Now, the world as it stands right now, however, is totally designed to make you forget that. In some ways, I almost wonder if the temptation in the Garden of Eden was not so much one of pride as distraction. Here you have this, you know, talking snake. If that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. And he's talking to you about something else, anything else, than what God's word says. And he does such a good job of distraction that Adam and Eve don't even know what's happening until they hear God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And by then, yeah, it's too late. I mean, Satan is like that magician that gets you distracted looking at one thing when really he's doing something else. He does it. The world does it. Our own sinful flesh does it. They distract us. Distract us from the only reality out there, God, the author of our salvation, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, not just to calm troubled hearts, but to create new ones. New ones so that we could live with him forever. The devil, the world, us, are all voices trying to distract us from that reality, trying to drown out the only voice that matters, the voice that spoke in the beginning and brought everything into being just by speaking. This is the same voice who says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he says. If it wasn't the case, I would have told you. It is the case. It is reality. So we look at this world and forget there's another whole reality out there that is much more real. And that's not to say that this world isn't a gift from God. It is. But this world is really just the beginning of God's gifts to us. There's so much more that is waiting for us. And to be honest, I can't wait. But I know my 8 minutes are about up here too. So let me just conclude by saying, whatever it is that is going on in your life right now, maybe it has you running scared, maybe it has your heart troubled, trust in God. Trust his word. I mean, you still have to do the papers and the tests and go through the messes that life throws at you. None of us gets a pass on any of that. But know this, that God has your back. He's already got the room reserved. He would have told you if it wasn't so. So trust him for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to stand as we join in our hymn.